I was going to tell Pastor Seng Lee my house sale. But didn't think that was nice, so... Anyway, we had a wonderful time worshipping the Lord earlier on in Come Bless the Lord. And there was a time in which we had our individual reflection and thanksgiving of the things that occurred in the year. For tonight, I thought we'll do some corporate review to appreciate what God has been doing corporately in a larger scope. And also to then share with you three angles for us to make wise choices, for us to move on to the new year ahead. As I was preparing for this message during Christmas, thinking through, I wonder if you had seen this report in the Straits Times about Aleppo, who was liberated from the rebels, and they celebrated their first Christmas in 5 years. It was a 6-year civil war, and I was surprised. You look at the picture, there are so many Christians still there and in a torn cathedral, and they were so happy to be able to celebrate Christmas in 5 years. And here we are in BBTC celebrating Christmas with complete freedom and joy. And Singapore is indeed so blessed that we have this freedom of worship, so blessed as a nation. In 2015, as a nation, we celebrated SG50 to recount 50 years of nation building. And indeed, we have much to be thankful for. But because of this freedom of worship and good government, we can see that Christianity and the name of Christ has been planted in Singapore since 1819, when Sir Stamford Raffles came and the early Anglican settlers with the Far East, British Far East India Company, they came to Singapore. And in 1826, the first Anglican church, which is St. Andrew's Cathedral, was established. 1843, the Presbyterian Church by Reverend Kingsbury. And in 1864, businessman, English businessman Philip Robinson, with six others, he established the Robinson and Company, the departmental store that we know. And as a lay leader, he got six other business people together and started the first Brethren Fellowship. And then followed 1885, the Methodist missionaries, and 1928, the Assembly of God, 1937, the Baptist, and 1953, the Lutheran. Our own Brethren establishment, as I mentioned, the Philip Robinson, initially they were reaching out to the locals, the colonial, the British, who were the soldiers and the business people here. And then the Lord placed on them a burden to reach out to the locals, and they started to reach out to all races. And in 1864, a mission room was started, and that began the first Brethren Assembly in Singapore. And as the city of Singapore grew, and as Christians from the city centre moved to the suburban then, they planted churches in the suburban, and in the Katong area was considered a suburban. And Podesta Katong, our mother church that planted BBTC, was established in 1935. This piece of land was donated by a banker, retired banker, who is a young believer. He became a Christian only a year, and then the Lord laid upon his heart when he saw a piece of land in the east that was being auctioned for a priceless sum of $10,000. Okay, that piece of land in Bethesda Katong was donated by this retiree, and because of his decision, a very strategic move that he made, Bethesda Katong planted, Bethesda Frankel planted, Pasir Ris Mission Home planted BBTC. So from there we grew, and over time as other assemblies planted, we can see a distribution of more than 16 brethren assemblies all over Singapore. And 2014, 2 years ago, all the assemblies got together to celebrate the 150th year anniversary of the Brethren Church. On the left, the development over 150 years is chronicled in this book called The Brethren Story. Now, every baptized member here during baptism class is given a copy just to give you some understanding of your heritage. Some of you are new, you joined BBTC as a already baptized member. You are welcome to approach the church office and get a copy. We have free copies for every one of you who would like to read about the Brethren's story. Pari passu with the establishment of Christianity, we can also see how Christianity has grown in Singapore. Today, the last census, we have a record of about 18% over Christians. But if you talk about O levels and above, those with at least an O level education, it's at least double that. It's 35 to 38%. So it's significant, but still, there's a lot of work left to be done. But what is disconcerting is the fact that in the recent 10 years, we have seen the young adults having a decrease in number and replaced, and this decrease in number is across all faiths, the Buddhists, the Taoists, the Hindus, except for the Muslims, because for them it is a biological growth. And Christians, we find a drop. And the gain is in the agnostics and the atheists. So a lot of our young adults are now believing in humanism and science and departing away from all faith. The church in Singapore has to recover this lost ground to win the hearts and minds of our young people and young adults. So here for BBTC, we were registered as a legal entity on the 8th of August 1984, and the first worship service was 2nd November 86. The late Dr. Benjamin Chu was our first chairman elder, and 2 years after establishment, we were given total autonomy and we became an independent assembly. These are pictures, some of it you have seen. During the foundation, stone laying and the piling and the building works, and then establishing the church in 1984. And soon we outgrew the premise. Some of you have heard this story during the anniversary. After about 15 years, we outgrew our facility. Much prayer and deliberation took place among the leaders to discuss about extension and reworks. But initially, as we discussed, there was no common agreement. And we decided that since there was no unanimity among all the leaders, we should postpone. We actually had a RFP, and there were proposals who came in, and then there were, you know, and it was quite expensive. Among the discussion was to maximize the space and to see how better we can use instead of renovating and all that. And the youth church moving to Saturday was one of those outcomes that we tried to move meetings around and maximize the space. But that was God's hand in it, because after about 5 years, everything dropped in price. Construction came down, there was a little recession, and by that time, again, we maxed out the facility, and this time, there was a great agreement. One of the signs that God gave us was senior pastor, as we as the leaders all prayed together, God gave him a number. He got all of us together, leaders meeting, and he shared that he needed a commitment from the leaders first before he can come to the church and share about this building extension. Of course, building extension costs millions, and you know, it's a sensitive issue, but he felt that if there's no buy-in from the leaders, then no go for the church members. And every leader had to write a number, prayerfully, committed before the Lord, only known to him, to the leader and the Lord. And then the church treasurer sum up all the committed amount. And as we sum up, the amount total was the amount that the Lord has laid upon senior pastor's heart. And so clearly, it was a go-go. And, you know, the rest is history. We saw the hand of God through many miracles. Actually, this sanctuary was never planned. I mean, not supposed to be here. Okay, because we didn't have the budget to include the sanctuary. So we had an action, but, you know, we didn't have this sanctuary. But God created a stop work order. You know, the building was stopped. And at that time, we scrambled to rediscuss, to relook, and there were members, leaders who felt that we shouldn't not have a sanctuary. And then there were also provisions provided. Members came forward to commit to provide for this sanctuary. And we scrambled, resubmitted through the architect, and lo and behold, we have this wonderful annex that we have today. So besides the sacrificial giving, I think this was mentioned by Elder Luke Wee Meng during his anniversary message about a young boy who gave his all. And this is the envelope that we have kept. And this is the widow's mite equivalent. This young boy today is a teenager. I hope he's still in church. He gave his all, and God is surely going to bless him. And so it's wonderful how we saw God's hand, and you heard the story of how even the government gave us back the cost. Wow, okay. Balloon who burst, huh? And then, of course, we had our 30th anniversary. We had all the Beyond 30 BBTC camp. We had the Beyond Your Comfort Zone, the Blessing Campaign, the songwriting competition, Beyond the Church Walls, outreach to the community. And beyond our country, we had 54 teams sent out to 21 regions. And culminating at our anniversary celebration, with various testimony of God's goodness to us. This is a wonderful testimony of God's hand upon our nation, upon BBTC, and there's a lot for us to give thanks for. But what about you, individually? How was 2016 for you? In a few minutes, we enter into a new year. I know we have a mixed audience here, and certainly we have mixed responses. Some of us had a tough time in 2016, and 2017 may not be any better. The reality is we live in a world of uncertainties, we live in a world of disruption, and how do we face 2017? I want to share with you three anchors for us to hold on to as we enter 2017, to help us make wise choice to face 2017. The three anchor first is to remind ourselves that we have a faithful covenant-keeping God. And two, God has a specific and unique plan for every one of us. And three, to remember that God is the potter and we are the clay. We have a faithful covenant-keeping God. Deuteronomy 7:9 tells us, "Know therefore that the Lord your God is good. He is the faithful God keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commandments. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Know, therefore, that the Lord your God is God." He is a promise-keeping God. In times of uncertainty, in times of disruption, God is unchanging. He has to be the same yesterday, today, and forever, the anchor for our faith. But this is conditional. Conditional in that we must hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess. We must hold tightly without wavering. Our focus, our hope, and our anchor moving ahead has to be that we have a God that is sovereign, that is faithful, and that he is a promise-keeping God. Secondly, we need to keep in focus that God has a specific and unique plan for each one of us, for every one of us. We are all at different seasons of life with different challenges. Some have relationship challenges. Some have financial challenges. Some have health issues, and others have baggages of ungodly belief. Whatever is confronting us, God knows. He knows our issue. And this is because in Psalms 139, we are reminded that God created us. Our inmost being, God knit us together in our mother's womb. And Psalms 139 tells us that all the days ordained for us were written in God's book before any one of us came to be. This is a tremendous promise that whatever your situation, God knows. And Jeremiah 29:11 is a precious promise that God is telling all of us that I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. And this includes everything that is going to happen in 2017. The question is, will you believe God for this? And will you claim this for yourself in 2017? Therefore, Psalms 37 tells us to trust in the Lord and do good, to dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. And the way to do it is to take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. God made us, he knows us, he is a promise-keeping God, and he wants us to trust him for the best that he has prepared for us. The parallel is in Matthew 6:33. And we know this verse well, to seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. But I like to paraphrase this by saying that this really, what this verse really means is, God is saying to us, if you take care of things dear to me, if you take care of things dear to God, God will take care of things dear to us. So this is what is meant by the Psalms, to take delight in the Lord. Let us take delight in the Lord to put things dear to God as priority in our life. And then we have an assurance that God has this perfect plan and purpose for our life, and that he's a promise-keeping God, and God will take care of things that is dear to us. So for 2017, the third anchor is for us to remember that God is the potter and we are the clay. In Isaiah 64:8, clearly, and Jeremiah 18, we are told, we are the clay, you are the potter, we are all the works of your hand. We have to decide by intentional choice to allow God as the potter to mold us, to become what God wants us to be, because He knows best what is good for us. This presupposes that we allow God into our lives and allow Him to mold us. In 2 Corinthians 4:17, Paul understood this. And what he is saying in 2 Corinthians 4:17 is that when God shows up, this common earthenware becomes something of surpassing greatness of the glory of God. And this is the analogy of the potter and the clay, because clay needs to go through fire for clay to be hardened and to be tested. And the precious verse in Romans 8:28, that we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. But there is a parallel to this, that the more we allow God to mold us, the more we will experience the reality of Romans 8:28. God is preparing something for us greater than all we can think or imagine. But first, God needs to mold us. God needs to shape us so that He can use us, so that He can use us and bless us, so that all things will work for the good in our lives when we love Him and call according to His purpose. God uses three principal means to mold us. Firstly, through His Word. Secondly, through people. And thirdly, through circumstances. God's Word provides soil for faith and the conviction of truth in our heart. And with that, it gives us the direction in life. And for John 17:17 to take effect, to sanctify ourselves, we must have the truth in us first for the Holy Spirit to do that work in us. If not, the Holy Spirit cannot effect John 17:17 in our lives. And for Romans 12:2 to be reality, the Word will have to impact our minds to transform, because there is this battle of the minds going on, and so that our will can be in alignment with God's will and allowing God to be the potter and we the clay. God uses people. Community is very important. It's impossible for us to mature and grow by ourselves. You have chosen the right portion tonight to be here. The people who probably need to hear the message are not here, because they cannot be allow their mind to be renewed. But I want to encourage all of you to also share with your friends and encourage them also. Because this is how we spur one another on, how we encourage one another. Hebrews 10 remind us not to neglect meeting together, as some have made a habit, but let us encourage one another. And Ecclesiastes tells us two are better than one, because they have a good return for their labor. If either one of them fall down, one can help the other. And Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpeneth iron, so one person sharpens the other. It is so important. That's why we encourage all of you to be part of a smaller group, a cell group, a ministry group, so that we can have this interaction that God can use to impact our lives and to mold us. God uses circumstances. Circumstances act as a refining purification to harden the clay that is in us, to build Christ-likeness in us, and to allow the fruits of the Holy Spirit to manifest. In James, we are told to consider it pure joy whenever we face trials of many kinds, because this testing of our faith produces perseverance, and that this perseverance may mature us and complete us. And 1 Thessalonians 5:18, we are reminded to give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So God uses circumstances, the trials, the difficulties, to shape us, to form us, to mold us. I wonder if you can see a parallel in this with the discipleship journey that BPTC's mission is and that we are committed to. BPTC, as an intentional disciple-making church, we want to help you to mature. We want to help you along the discipleship journey. You have seen this slide before. Ephesians 4:12 tells us to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. For us all to attain the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. This is just a snapshot. This is just a sampling of the various programs that we have. There are a lot more, including men's ministry, women's ministry. We have special programs, Faith at Home for parenting. We have many, many programs. But unless we choose, make the right choice to prioritize our time, our activities, to allow ourselves to be part of the equipping track, or to allow ourselves to serve, if you are already able to serve in the cell, to serve in the ministry, this would enable us to be part of the overall process which God can work in our lives. Finding and fulfilling our God's given destiny in 2017 is not a matter of chance, but a matter of choice. How we choose to prioritize, what we want to do with our time, how we want to focus, is going to make that difference into whether we allow God as the portal to mold us, for us to be able to experience God's purposes for our life, for us to be able to and receive the blessing of promises that God has promised and given to each one of us. This is a verse that I was confronted with when I was a teenager, when I heard the gospel being preached, and the evangelist gave this verse, and that day I gave my life to Christ and I decided to choose to serve God. And in the discipleship journey, it is the same. You know, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. So as we enter into 2017, no matter what lies ahead in 2017, I've got news for you, that God is already in 2017. And He wants to be part of our 2017. He wants to be part of your 2017. The question is whether we will make the choice to allow God to be part of our 2017. So I want to challenge you, church, to focus ourselves on these three anchors, to know that we have a covenant faithful covenant keeping God, a God that keeps His promise. And then to know that God desires the very best for our life, and the way for us to experience that fullness that God has for us in this life, growing and maturing as the disciple, is for us to stay rooted in the Word, to stay rooted in the community, and to recognize God in our circumstances as God make and mold us. Have a blessed 2017, and may God help each of us to spur one another to more, to love and good works. Thank you very much.
Just so we rise as we sing the closing song. And it's just 15 minutes away to count down. So exciting. So let's quieten our hearts. There's a time to rejoice. But for now, let us just ponder whatever Elder Peng has just shared. And as we sing this song, let's commit really our lives and our year ahead to the Lord, shall we? You have been good to me. You have been good to me. You have been gracious. You have been faithful, meeting my needs. The Lord is so plain to see. You have been good to me.
believe. And therefore we speak and we receive all that you have in store for us for 2017. By faith we receive all, every perfect and good gifts that our Father has prepared for us. Today by faith we receive them and we say thank you Jesus. Thank you Lord. Thank you Lord. Thank you Lord. Come on church, let's give our hand and thank Jesus. We believe. And if I will receive every good and perfect gift that our Father has prepared for us.